We're talking to you today here at the Surviving the Elements Symposium being put on by the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum in Oklahoma City with Timothy Egan. Mr. Egan, you're almost a legend in a lot of ways when it comes to knowledge, information about the Dust Bowl era. You've done a tremendous amount of research, and have any of the things that we've seen the last couple of years, the drought of the 2011, 2012, even to 13, did that kind of ring some bells as you saw that?
Yeah, it really did. And a lot of folks sent me pictures and emails with attachments of dust storms saying, hey, what does this remind you of? Does this look anything like what you saw in the 1930s? And that, there's great archival stuff from the 30s, so you can look at some of the films that were taken of the big dusters, including the biggest one of all, Black Sunday. It does in some respects. I mean, the drought forces people to look at, what we're doing, our limited resources, whether we're using water well. But in another respect, it does not. We are not seeing the dust storms itself on the magnitude we saw, because we have learned some things.
Well, let's talk a little bit about maybe what we did learn and what you've learned through your research and as a result writing the book that you did. What really caused the Dust Bowl problems that we saw in the 30s?
Yeah, it's really simple. Really, really simple. There's always been drought in this part of the country, so that's not the cause. There's always been high winds, so that's not the cause. But what was different? Ask yourself what was missing in the dirty 30s. Well, they'd ripped up the grass. So you had an area about the size of the state of Pennsylvania that used to have native grass on it, good for bison, good for cattle. It was gone. And so when those winds came, they just took that exposed area and took it to the sky. And I'll give you a real succinct summary of something a cowboy told me. He's actually half Apache, half cowboy. I talked to him, put him in the book. He said he looked out at the peak of the Dust Bowl, and he said, wrong side up. And that was a summation of, from a cowboy's perspective, what was wrong.
Mm-hmm. When we think about, the lessons that we did learn through that era, it was told in a lot of different ways. Obviously, the agronomic part of it, mm-hmm. that you saw, and the dirt that was lost, the topsoil that was lost. Mm-hmm. It was also a people process as well.
Right, that's a great point. And in some ways, it's the more or equally fascinating story is the human resilience. And, I was lucky enough to talk to the last folks who lived through this, people who put in homesteads. When they themselves were 17, 18 years old, their folks had come, their grandparents had come. And remember, we doubled the Homestead Act. So in the early 20th century, there's actually more homesteading going on out here than any other part of the United States. It didn't happen in the 19th century. It happened in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. So those folks were solid people who'd never had a piece of dirt in their life. Suddenly they had something. And living through that, as two-thirds of the people didn't go anywhere, they lived through it. The myth is that they fled to California. Well, some of them did, but two-thirds of them didn't go anywhere. That, to me, is just the most compelling human story. How do you put up with the time when the land betrays you? How do you put up with the time when there's no Social Security, when they were living on brine tumbleweed, when roadkill? You'd have a little garden and, storm would come through and the static electricity could kill your garden in some respects. So all these amazing stories that seem like they're from a lost era, but in fact are from a generation that's still barely with us, that was a fascinating part of the story.
As you researched for your book, that's one theme that mm-hmm. you obviously saw. What were some other themes that you really picked up on that you felt, you really needed to try to get across to folks?
Yeah, that human folly repeats itself, that we tend to stuff. It's not unique to here or any other ones. It's just unique to human beings is that we tend to suffer from amnesia. You get a few good years and you think, well, this will never happen again. Mm-hmm. So, I'm one of my concerns now is the Ogallala Aquifer. And a lot of folks in the old Dust Bowl area will tell you that the same thing USGS is telling them is that they're drawing down that thing. Too many people are putting straws in that big old body of fresh water the size of the Great Lakes. And, it would be nice to look at it as a whole as they tried to get people to do in the Dust Bowl. The lasting legacy of the Dust Bowl were the soil conservation districts, these regional cooperative areas. You see them all over the U.S. That's the lasting, grassroots legacy of this thing. So, The historical amnesia, I tend to be an optimist. I tend to be a positive person. But I'm a little concerned about that we just, a few good years go by and we forget the bad years.
You mentioned Soil Conservation Service, NRCS, Natural Resource Conservation right. Service today. What did we do right as we came in and attacked the problem?
Yeah, we did a lot of stuff right. That's why it's a success story in some ways. We learned to just do contour plowing. We learned to let land rest. We learned that this is an ecological hole instead of my patch against your patch. People learned to be cooperative. It was said at the start of the Soil Conservation District that one man can't stop the dust bowl, but one man can start it. You know, that people don't cooperate and look at this thing as a whole, it's going to have an effect on your neighbor's land. And most of the interesting thing about the Soil Conservation Districts is the cooperative volunteer ones. I'm not talking about the nationals, but the ones that happen at the grassroots level. So they actually learned some scientific things that have worked, and we've now given them to the rest of the world.
Obviously, we've seen some major conservation programs come and go. One of the biggest that really it was established right here in the Dust Bowl area, the High Plains area, was CRP, Conservation Reserve Program.
Right. Well, it's a long ways from what the original intention was. Let's just put it that way. And that's a lot of what's happened with the farm programs. They came about in the 30s. Originally, it was intended to help folks who were literally starving. And didn't know where their next dime was going to come from. Some families actually gave up their kids even in that era. It was an emergency thing, and then the conservation part of it was designed to allow people to stay on this land long term, to rest some of the land. As with a lot of programs, it's been fairly manipulated, and I'm not sure it's fairly close to its original intentions.
When we think about today, mm-hmm. What are the key things, takeaways that farmers, ranchers, policymakers like, Congressman Lucas, who mm-hmm. helped write this farm bill for 2014. What mm-hmm. do we really need to be learning from that era of the 30s?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things is, and it was mentioned in some of the discussions we're having here at the Cowboy Museum, is that, in the 1930s, one in three people still worked the land. So we were a nation connected to agriculture. I'm sure you know better than most. It's less than 1% right now. So this is an abstraction to most people. I mean, it's close to folks here, but it's an abstraction to most people. They have no connection to where their food comes from. So I think people need to learn that, there are natural events that happen that come all the way down the chain that end up on their breakfast table. And I wish we had more of that in the cities.
And we do have, obviously, some very large urban areas right here in the middle of what was once the Dust Bowl.
Right, but if you look at the western side of this, of Oklahoma, the Texas Panhandle, the western side of Kansas, parts of New Mexico, right. The southeast side, it was five states in the old Dust Bowl. It really never came back. And what I noticed, I mean, this is what my interest in this was. I was going around this area doing a series for the New York Times on small town America. And there's one dying town after the other in that western half. Mm-hmm. It's there are less people living there now than lived there 100 years ago. Sure, so you have great cities on the western side of Texas, Oklahoma, et cetera. But in the old Dust Bowl, I mean, it's continuing to empty out.
Why is that?
Agriculture's changed. Because we've gone from small farms, relatively small farms, to big farms. We used to have a town every 12 miles. That's the way the railroads built those small towns, because you want a little rail depot for your food. Come and get the wheat that you'd produced, take it off. But now we have huge farms, so you don't need the little towns, you don't need the rail. It's simple economics.
So,
I'm sorry, if I could add one more.
Yeah.
There really is a commodity story for people interested in the economics of agriculture. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to me that my book gets taught by economists, which makes me feel good, because what happened in the Dust Bowl, in the run-up, wheat became like gold. I mean, it went from 50 cents a bushel to a buck, $2. It went to $4 a bushel, not even adjusted for inflation, which is close to what it's selling for or had been selling for not long ago. I mean, adjusted for inflation, that would be $25 a bushel.
Right.
So there was a huge gold rush. There were these so-called suitcase farmers that came, got off the train, claimed their square mile, planted some turkey red wheat, and then went away back to the city. Mm-hmm. So it was an economic story. And, of course, what happens when you have something that rises that quickly is it collapses. So the price went from four back down to almost a dime a bushel, and they couldn't give wheat away. And that's in part why people left the land, why it went fallow. Don't forget, the economic part was a big part of that story.
Mm-hmm. So for folks living in that Dust Bowl era, mm-hmm. area, is there any hope? Is there a way to, you know, rejuvenate or you know, let areas pop up?
Yeah. In fact, I don't mean to paint it with all one brush. There's been some real success stories in that. I mean, you can go there and see some green recovered. You can see national grasslands that are run by the Forest Service right now, and there's lots of wildlife there, pronghorn antelope, birds come through, et cetera. It looks like a living landscape. And you see ranchers doing well there as well because they've adjusted their styles. They've learned those lessons. But what's happened is because we all have bigger farms and bigger ranches, there are fewer and fewer people. That's the point I was making.
Right.